News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hour two, here we go, starting it with the El Paso History Moment. Written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her topic today is about the first rodeo woman.
She rode like a girl. A cowgirl, that is. The earliest documented example of women competing in rodeo competitions with men happened in Cheyenne, Wyoming in 1900 by one Lucille Mulhall out of Oklahoma. Lucille's vying with male steer ropers didn't end there. Her next challenge was with cowboys at the El Paso Rodeo in 1901, and win she did, to the tune of $10,000. This expansion of women's roles in rodeo took place in a sport which was itself in a dynamic phase of change. An El Pasoan, Rose Smith was just one of those cowgirls to be part of that change and to follow in Lucille Mulhall's stirrups. Research turns up little about Rose's early days in El Paso and when she started to compete and ride in rodeos. But what we do know of her later life should make all El Paso proud. Rose Smith was a multi-talented cowgirl who traveled the national and international rodeo circuit to become a famous bronc and trick rider. Why, in 1923, during the Ringlings contest at Madison Square Garden, Rose won $960 overall. Big bucks in those days. That included $600 first prize in bronc riding, $185 a day in money, and $175 in the costume event. Rose continued riding for many more years. We don't know too much more, but Rose's image still rides wild broncs on the internet today via hundreds of pictures and references of her and the golden days of rodeo. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I like the music. And Bernie plays all those instruments by himself?
Yes, he does. And he rides a horse at the same time.
He's pretty good at this. Anyway, you got this going on for the History Alliance, don't you?
Yeah, the El Paso History Alliance on Facebook is an excellent source of historical pictures, stories, and preservation updates. And it's managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And another El Paso History Facebook page is Remember in El Paso When, with one of the best archives of historic photos and information, which is managed by Barbara Given-Bainey. She's chief administrator there, and she has a wonderful team helping her manage the site.
Bunch of people there. One is Kenneth Sutherland, brand-new guy there. Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, moderators are Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. Thank you all for what you do, and BGB, the chief bottle washer. That's a great service to El Paso, and that's all volunteer stuff there. Hey, we're still talking Border Patrol history here. Now we're going to take a look at the actual history of the organization. We gave you an hour one, pretty much a tour of the museum with David Hamm. And, David, you've been there a long time.
I've been here a while, yes, sir.
But, yeah, hop on that mic there. But, so, I mean, was there a director ahead of you?
Yes, Brenda Tisdale was the director before I took over.
But now you've been there a whole long time.
I've been there since 2015.
Hey, okay. So you're not going to let them move that to the mall in D.C., are you?
No.
Good.
No.
We need that here.
And actually, I've been president of the Board of Governors since 2008, so I've been...
You've been involved.
I've been involved.
And
yes.
Again, your service in the Border Patrol was in this area here?
Yes. I started in Columbus, New Mexico, which is pretty historic itself.
Oh, God, yes. and there's all kinds of things over there. You got the Pancho Villa State Park.
Park, yes.
Goodness. And was Border Patrol formed because of him? No, it wasn't.
No, no. The Border Patrol was formed primarily in response to the Chinese Exclusion Act. And that act prevented They brought the Chinese over here to build the railroads.
Right.
So when the railroads were finished, it was decided they had to go back to China. Well, a great number of them went south into Mexico, and then they started coming back. So they passed this Chinese Exclusion Act. They needed someone to enforce it. So by the end of the Department of Labor, had the U.S. Immigration Service, which also had the ports of entry, but it also had between the ports. So they created this, what they call the Chinese Division, and they had mounted inspectors or mounted guardsmen, and their primary duty was to check for Chinese aliens returning. And basically that was their primary focus. But there was a fellow by the name of Berkshire who in 1918 decided that they really needed a stronger force. They needed a border patrol. So he presented a proposal for a border patrol with something over 1,000 agents or inspectors. It was turned down, but again, with the Volstead Act and all the violence that came with that, it was decided they needed a stronger force. So in 1924, they created the Border Patrol. They hired 450 patrol inspectors, and that's where we began.
Well, you have a picture. Do we have that picture, Andrew, the one of the border from the aerial? And that's the one that you said you want to talk about for a little bit. It'll be up in a second here. It's the aerial with the river.
Yes, that also came from that Gottlieb Lindekahl book that I mentioned earlier. That picture was taken in 1929, and it shows a lot of, the Santa Fe Bridge, the Black Railroad Bridge, several bridges that are here today. And that's it right there.
Well, that's an ambitious-looking Rio Grande right there.
Yes.
We don't have them like that anymore, do
no,
we?
No, we don't.
That's got water in it.
Right. And if you look at that middle bridge, the dark bridge, and to the left of that, you'll see a building with some lines around it.
Yeah.
That's Camp Chigas. That's where the Border Patrol started.
What's a Chigas?
Oh, wow.
That's named after a private in the U.S. Army who was killed in a raid into... they did a raid into Juarez.
Well, let's move on to that picture, Andrew.
And he was killed, so they named that camp after him.
And so that's where the Border Patrol headquarters was.
That's where it was
originally.
Yes. That's where it started. The U.S. Immigration Service, like we talked about earlier, already had a presence there. So when we went to Department of Labor Border Patrol, they just changed hats, and that's where the what we call Station 1, the first Border Patrol station was in that area. And that's
South El Paso, okay.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of guys standing in front of their cars.
Yes, that's the first group that occupied that building. And you have Lindekahl, you have H.C. Horsley there. They were some of the giants that stood up the first Border Patrol station.
Well, talk about Horsley. Horsley's... we have a picture. We have a picture of Horsley.
Yeah, he was a chief patrol inspector. What they call the chief patrol inspector, they weren't called agents at that time. They were called inspectors, and there's a long history of why they were called inspectors. But he was a World War I veteran. He had been gassed in the war. He was a Silver Star winner. They say he was a hard but fair man, and he helped establish the Border Patrol training school here. And his family lived here for a while. I don't know if they're still around. He was a staunch defender of the Border Patrol. And as you can imagine, even as today, there were a lot of critics. But he stood by his men. When a fellow by the name of Benjamin Hill was killed, he'd only been on duty like 2 weeks. They didn't have any way to send the body back to the East Texas where he was from. So he ran around to all of his men and collected enough money to send his body back. He said he was a hard but fair guy. and he worked with the district director, Grover Wilmoth, and they accomplished a lot of groundbreaking things for the Border Patrol.
Well, how does this organization look at its own history? I mean, was there a lot of innovation going on back then because there was no rules, there was no previous Border Patrol?
Well, it's an interesting time. When the Border Patrol was created on May 28, 1924, they had no uniforms. They had a badge. They had to provide their own gun. We provided ammo. They had to provide their own horse, but we provided, or the Border Patrol provided feed and tact and a place to put them. And it also, I just found out, a lot of times they didn't have vehicles, and if an agent had a vehicle, they would let him use it and pay for his gas. But that didn't last very long. So they also had no authority to arrest anyone.
Oh.
Which kind of created some problems. So by the end of 1924, and they started all this with $1 million. They hired 450 patrol inspectors. By the end of the year, they had enough money to design and purchase uniforms. So it was an interesting time. Then they got authority to arrest people. Then they got authority to board and search vehicles that they believed were bringing in. But they didn't have any of this authority when they first began. It was just like, you know, do the best you can.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
That's kind of bizarre.
It is really amazing that, and you know, the technology, they didn't have any. The only technology they have was a telephone. But the agents didn't have, the inspectors didn't have anything. So once someone got wounded, they had to go to a house that had a phone in order to call to get help.
Well, now you guys got computer networks and you got surveillance cameras everywhere. You got the blimps yours?
It's part of DHS, yes.
Okay, so you got blimps, you got stuff going on, and you can probably look into the pocket of somebody driving in a car going 80.
Oh, yeah, you talk about the technology now. You can arrest someone and find out their history in 3 minutes. When I was working, you arrest someone. If you want to find out about them, you had to take their fingerprints, send it off to the FBI,
oh,
and hopefully a couple of weeks you'd get a return.
And they'd be lying to you about who they were, so you would have to figure that out.
Exactly. And that's one of the greatest innovations, in my opinion, that the Border Patrol ever came up with, is the ability to do a fingerprint and photo ID within minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, that's police work.
Yeah, exactly. But back then, it wasn't that way.
No, I'm sure.
So they had to be pretty tough and pretty innovative fellows.
So, and looking for Border Patrol agents now, who are you getting? Are you getting college grads, or what are you getting?
We're getting a wide variety. We're getting veterans. We're getting college grads. They like to have college grads. They like to have someone with, if they're not a college grad, at least a couple of years of good work experience. You know, not just somebody like straight out of high school. And they're recruiting heavily for women right now. I think the women compose about 5% of the workforce, so they're trying to recruit more women. And it's an ongoing issue all the time.
You got more heroes in the history to talk about. We should probably take a break a little early and come back and talk about some of these heroes. And what other parts of the Border Patrol history are we going to find out about? Be thinking about that, because, I mean, okay. You got some time here. We got some people listening. Let's see what we can do here.
Okay. And yeah, I'd like to hear about the aerial side of the Border Patrol.
The aerial, okay. You want a blimp ride, don't you? No, you don't.
We don't have a blimp, but we can.
Well, get her a blimp.
Just
because it's Melissa.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Melissa, you going to stay there? You got any more people looking at us on the Facebook?
Yeah, got a lot of people. One Concepcion, Linda Hart. We've been going back and forth in conversations. Keith Wilden. A lot of great people out there listening in.
Excellent. We'll see you guys after the break here. Back in just a moment.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
We've got your stimulus right here. And this one isn't on you, the taxpayer.
Awesome.
No way.
Awesome.
Listen for the keyword and enter it into our website for your chance to win $1,000 with the $1,000 stimulus.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
Should Viagra really cost $90 per pill? We don't think so. RexMD has FDA-approved generic Viagra medication of that little blue pill starting at just $2. Why pay huge pharmacy prices when you can get the same results for a fraction of the cost? Give your bank account a break. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you'll get a starter pack prescription of industry-leading generic Viagra medication. Just call 800-426-9561. We've helped over 100,000 men with their sex lives and with getting prescription medications direct. Your consultation is free, there's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. Get your starter pack now. Call 800-426-9561. That's 800-426-9561. Again, 800-426-9561.
Our iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Usher will be our host.
Performances from The Weeknd.
With special guests.
Ariana Grande.
Silk Sonic. Doja Cat. Dan and Shay. And more.
Coming to Fox Thursday, May 27th.
Don't miss our iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Find out the best tips and techniques to get your home sold and get the latest in real estate trends this week with your host, Brian Birds. Sunday at 7:30 on El Paso's news radio station, 690 KTSM AM.
City streets or small towns, everyone deserves a clean, green community. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify communities. Let's do beautiful things. Visit KAB.org.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got lots to talk about. A lot more Border Patrol history coming up to you. Want to let you know who's coming here next weekend, May the 29th. We're going to be talking about some of the many U.S. Army forts in the West Texas, Southern New Mexico, and the area here with military historian John Hamilton. June the 5th, Bernie Sargent's back with more early El Paso history. We got up to, we're going to go from zero to 1930. We got up to the Civil War. So last time. So we'll get back into that and see how far we get this time. June the 12th, have you been to the War Eagles Air Museum lately? We're going to hear about the museum's history, how it was started with a collection of vintage airplanes in a private collection. The new executive director is Mike Ett, and he will be our guest. Maybe we'll have some other people as well. June 19th, author Harry Herbert von Schwielitsch. Good old Harry will be back. He's on a program to connect spy stories in the Mexican Revolution. He found National Archive documents showing the money trail from Germany to Pancho Villa and others Mexican Revolution figures. There was the money trail. He found it. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Another guy on the show that week, Florian Waddle. I think it's Waddle. another German dude. Anyway, well, these guys will talk about all kinds of spies in the Mexican Revolution. June the 26th, what's happening in space these days? There's been a tremendous amount of news in the last year. Chris Orwell from the New Mexico Museum of Space History going to be our guest to talk about things going on there. And what do you got, Melissa?
Well, I just want to remind everybody to go ahead and visit us out at Keystone Heritage Park at 4200 Donovan Drive in the Upper Valley. The attendance has been wonderful. In fact, today we're back doing special events. Bernie's marrying a couple right now. So if you have a special event you'd like to have at Keystone Heritage Park, give us a call at 584-0563 and reserve your spot. And it's just the birds. There's a ton of birds out there right now. It's so beautiful. So get out there and visit us. We're open from 9 a.m. to sunset every day except Monday.
What roughly is the address there?
4200 Donovan Drive.
Neat place. It's got a botanical garden. And
yes,
one day we have too much money, we're going to put a kiosk out there and explain that all that history under the ground.
Well, we need a building have our interpretive center there for kids to visit and people to learn more.
So if you got too much money, somebody won that big lottery last night. I don't think it was around here.
Wasn't me.
Well, whoever they are, they're my new best friend. I wish they'd help us out, whoever they are. All right, talking more a little Border Patrol history here. We got about a two-minute segment here to take another break here. And David Hamm is our guest here. Let's take a look at some of the early pictures of the history. You had some guys you wanted to go over particularly?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Clifford Perkins for one of them. He was a mounted guard in the Chinese division. He got that job applying as a railroad clerk, but they took him. He joined the Chinese division. He came to El Paso as the first patrol agent in charge of the station. He helped design the uniform, the forest green and the riding breeches with the leather boots. It's based on the Canadian Mounted Police uniform.
Okay.
He helped design that. He helped establish the way the sectors or districts were laid out. The El Paso district ran from just on this side of Yuma, Arizona, down to the Devil's River just north of Del Rio, and the San Antonio district had everything from the Devil's River south to Brownsville. The other district was the Los Angeles district, which was from San Diego to Yuma, Arizona. He helped design all of that. One interesting thing when the Border Patrol was formed is where did they get these agents? There was no federal announcement for Border Patrol agent or Border Patrol inspector. So they went back to the railroad clerk and postal clerk announcement and selected some of those folks. They soon determined that a lot of those guys weren't fit to be Border Patrol inspectors. The attrition rate in the first 6 months was 27%. So they got an exemption. They started hiring like Texas Rangers, local sheriffs, even cowboys and ranchers who knew how to take care of themselves. And then that eventually evolved into a federal job announcement for a Border Patrol inspector, which also interesting to note that women were eligible to apply. However, it wasn't until 1975 that we hired the first female agent. So you often wonder, where did these guys come from? And they came from everywhere. A lot of them had experience of working, you know, out in the desert by themselves or in the mountains by themselves and could take care of themselves, and that's what they needed.
Well, did they go camping a whole lot? Is that the point?
Yes. Well, like in El Paso, their primary job was, especially west of here, was horseback. They would ride from El Paso, you know, to Columbus horseback or meet the guys halfway. Just to patrol the border until they got, you know, some viable roads and some vehicles that could do that. But like I said earlier, a lot of these guys had never been in a vehicle. They didn't know how to change a tire, They had to learn all that stuff. So it was an interesting time, and you compare it as the way it is today, it's hard to imagine what it was like in that time.
Well, they paid better, so they got better people, no?
Yeah, I think the starting salary back then was like $1,600 a year.
Well, I can't relatively figure that into my head right now. I mean, I'd be lucky to see that money here any day,
yeah.
any year, any 2 years, whatever. Enough of that. Taking a break here. It is the Border Patrol history we're talking about here on the El Paso History Radio Show. We've got Melissa in a remote location, but we know where she is.
Yes, I'm remotely hiding out.
Have you got any more comments you want to talk about on Facebook there?
Yes. Oh, I wanted to mention we're working on the sound for the Facebook page. Apparently they're saying it's sounding better now. And this young lady, Marty Cunningham, whose father was Bill Tony, he was one of the first district managers. She's got a lot of history she's sharing with everybody on the Facebook page. And L. Bush, inside joke, I was going back and forth. A friend of mine couldn't figure out why Bernie was marrying someone else when he's married to me. And I'm like, she's just being smart, Alex.
Because he had a choice.
Yeah, that's true. I rent him out on a regular basis.
I see. And so we shall take a break and come back and deal with more of this. And in the meantime, I'm going to go to Pepe's. You're not going to make it.
No, I don't. Bernie might pop over there after the wedding. I'm not sure.
Okay. Tell him we'll accept.
No, I'm stuck at the house.
Tell him we'll accept him. Going to Pepe's, 6761 Donovan Drive. All right, see you guys after the break. Andrew, hit the button.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Spring means that the weather and sales are heating up. People getting out to shop for new clothes, make home improvements, and more. Use the power of radio to connect with spring spenders. Advertise on stations like this one to reach consumers wherever their travels take them. Use iHeart Ad Builder to create your own custom radio ad quickly and cost-effectively. Just click, listen, approve, then hear it on the radio. For a free customized ad, sign up now at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Last weekend's Casa Buick GMC Sunday sales event was a huge success. So now we are inundated with terrific trade-ins. Cars, trucks, SUVs, sports, luxury, economy, all on sale just for you this Friday and Saturday. Financing available through more than 20 banks and credit unions. Buy here, pay here financing on-site by La Casita. Casa Buick GMC, the new home of the nice guys. Montana at Airway by the airport.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are now ready to talk about what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Plans have finally been announced for a long-awaited master plan community in Northeast El Paso, led by businessman Paul Foster and his development partners.
Also in the Inc., one of El Paso's favorite musicians marks a resurgence in his career with the release of a new solo album.
The acting director of ICE in El Paso talks about the immigration agency responding to the migrant surge and growing up the son of parents who fled Cuba in the early 1950s.
El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Saul Sines talks about what Governor Greg Abbott said. Government and entities such as counties, cities, school districts, public health authorities, or government officials cannot enforce anyone to wear a mask. In fact, as of Friday, yesterday, local governments that try to enforce mask rules can face a fine up to $1,000. So after June the 4th, schools cannot force students, teachers, or parents to wear a mask while on campus.
Mayor Oscar Leeser and County Judge Ricardo Samaniego aren't issuing orders yet. Watch Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. You can join host Saul Sines on ABC 7 Extra.
A lot going on there. Okay, we have David Hamm sitting here. We're going to talk more about some particular guys within the Border Patrol, but we have a call. I want to have an announcement. Hey, Patricia, what's new?
Hey, well, good morning, guys. It's a beautiful morning over here on the east side.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But I would like to announce that Concordia Cemetery will host our annual Memorial Day event on the 31st, on Monday, honoring over 270 veterans from all wars at the cemetery. And that's going to start at 11 in the morning. It's near the Buffalo Soldier entrance. And we'll have shade and chairs and water and a great program honoring all of these glorious veterans.
That's at Concordia. And what's the address there?
4300 Yandel.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really on the it's there by L&J. That's a better landmark. At Stevens and Yandel is where the event will be held.
Excellent. And again, the date on that?
Monday, May 31st at 11 o'clock.
Patricia, thank you. Are you going to Pepe's?
All right. I sure am.
Patricia will be at Pepe's. We'll see you out there. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, a lot going on there. We got to talk. The Border Patrol, it's sort of like there, but you don't really think about it too much as a person in El Paso because they don't really enforce local laws. I mean, a borough Border Patrol agent sees somebody speeding on the highway, they can't stop them for speeding, can they?
No.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't, no.
But then in the meantime, if you have an emergency on an highway, quite often it's the Border Patrol guys that turn them in to the local authorities, whatever it is.
Right.
Billy Abraham got caught by a Border Patrol. What? Go ahead.
Another thing is if you're coming back across the border from Mexico quite intoxicated after having a good evening, they can pull you over and hold you for the police.
Well, yeah.
Well, I guess. When I was stationed in Columbus, that was a big problem out there, and we would be the only law enforcement agency around. And a lot of times the port at Palomas, at Columbus would close, and there'd be drunks coming up the highway, and we stopped them just to prevent somebody else from being killed because they were all over the road.
Oh, God.
And we would stop them and then call for a sheriff's deputy, but it could be an hour before one to show up. So
they'd have to come out of Deming or somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Oh, my,
yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we responded to a lot of stuff out there that because there was just no other law enforcement around.
But Border Patrol, you can see them everywhere, but they don't really get involved unless it's something coming from up
right
the other direction.
They're right.
Okay.
Coming out of the south.
All right, talk about more history here because we got a little bit of time here on this segment. Tell me, where do you want to go with this?
First, I'd like to talk about Gottlieb Lindekahl, who I've mentioned earlier. He was from Illinois, spoke fluent German, was served in World War One, was gassed, was a Distinguished Service Cross winner. He moved to Alamogordo after the war because of he had been gassed, and the environment there was better for him. Then he came into Border Patrol. He supported Horsley, who was his boss. Later, and he also created the first crime scene photos, which we have in his book that he donated to the museum, or his family did. He also was had one of the best collections of 45 caliber pistols in the United States. It's quite a guy, and he died in Alamogordo.
So where'd that collection go?
That's a good question. I'd like to find out.
Where's those guns at? Yeah.
Anyway, in 1939, there was a German luxury liner that was trying to make its way back to Germany. The British stopped it, and they scuttled the ship. And there was 309 German crewmen on that ship. They were given to put on a U.S. cruiser, taken to New York, moved all over the United States, and finally ended up in Fort Stanton, New Mexico. The Border Patrol was tasked with guarding those folks. Gottlieb, because he spoke fluent German, was put in charge of the project. And they built the whole camp up there and was guarded for a number of years by Border Patrolmen. Then it was turned over to local law enforcement, and some Apache Indians guarded those folks. Because of that experience, Gottlieb was later put in charge of a lot of the prison camps around the United States where POWs were kept.
When they came up.
Yeah.
All right, we got David Hamm is here talking about Border Patrol history. Got a caller on the phone, 544-5876. We get Martha. Hey, good morning, Martha.
Good morning. How are you?
Surviving. And how about yourself?
I'm doing great.
What's up?
I've been commenting on Facebook, watching your show. I just found it today, and I love it. My dad was Bill Tony, and in the Border Patrol his whole career. But I wanted to add one thing. About 1954, I believe it was around in January, when all the illegal aliens had to re-register. They selected him to be on the I've Got a Secret show.
Really?
And he had like 30 or 40 weapons hit on his body.
Oh, my goodness.
Taken off of aliens. And Jane Morgan, who was married to Steve Allen, was one of the panelists. And Daddy said that he really enjoyed her frisking him.
On national television.
All those weapons.
Oh, yeah, sure. Woo! Where's that one come from? Yeah, sure.
He was quite the looker.
After he died, I tried to find that particular episode and contacted the Game Show Network, and they were so nice. They did find the episode, put it on a CD for us, and sent it to us, and so we have that now to add to our collection of memories. But my whole life was growing up on a shooting range and just moving from town to town to town to town. So that's the way it was in the life of the Border Patrol.
Oh, yeah, you had to get around. Well, thank you for sharing this story.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
It was
a wonderful group of guys.
Thank you very much. You take care.
All right, bye.
544-5876 if you want to get involved in a conversation here. David Hamm, director of the museum of the National Border Patrol Museum in Northeast El Paso. And it's a, what's the address exactly?
2415
Transmountain. Because, I mean, you're right next to the Archaeology Museum.
Right.
And we'll see them come out a bit. To finish the thought from earlier, this first hour, if you got a long enough hose and you hooked it up to your water, how far out there could you squirt water to make the poppies grow?
I don't think you could squirt enough water out there to do that. You know, I've walked this area looking for poppies this year, and there's a few of them out there, but they're very few. It just has to rain at the right time.
Yeah.
And the heat, and you'll have poppies. If it doesn't rain at the right time, you won't get poppies.
We don't know what that time is.
I know, it's kind of a...
It could be January, it could be November.
Usually January through early February, if you get good moisture, you'll have a good crop. That's my experience. Anyway.
Well, you need some...
Kind of when Mother Nature decides.
Yeah. Of course, but I mean, I just think if you watered it every month out there, you'd eventually figure it out. You know, this section is November, and you go to the next section, this is December. Sooner or later, you'll figure out what month it is that they like. Maybe not. Okay, let's take a break anyway. It's the matter of the Border Patrol Museum. We're talking history there. And there's a lot of history in there. We haven't heard all the history that's in there, have we?
No.
Okay, we'll come back and talk about some more history. And we still got some more old guys to talk about, too, yeah. No? Okay, fair enough. David Hamm is here. We'll be doing this. And we do have a caller coming in here. We'll get to them in a minute. Otherwise, Andrew, are you ready? Here we go. Back in just a moment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming soon to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Presented by Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday, practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern, conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Our iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Usher will be our host.
Performances from the weekend with special guests Ariana Grande,
Silk Sonic, Doja Cat, Dan and Shay, and more.
Coming to Fox Thursday, May 27th.
Don't miss our iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money. Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to growwealthsafely.com. That's growwealthsafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. growwealthsafely.com.
Did you know that the largest ice cream sundae weighed over 24 tons? Or that if you unraveled the yarn in a pair of socks, it would stretch for over a mile? Or even that 21 elephants once walked over the Brooklyn Bridge to test its strength? With History Vault, you never know what you'll find. It's the place where you can stream over 190 episodes of Modern Marvels and thousands of History Channel documentaries commercial-free. Get a one-month extended free trial at historyvault.com/iHeart.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Talking Border Patrol history, David Hamm is here. Melissa, you had a question that came up from somewhere.
Yes, on the Facebook page alongside our show live, a gentleman, Dreeser Abanero is their name, and they had a question for David, and it was, during World War II, did the Border Patrol receive German prisoners from South Texas? He's got an interesting story, but he wanted to know if David had some information.
Yes, I think the Border Patrol guarded prisoners in Crystal City, Texas. There was a large German contingent there. That's the only one I know of in South Texas.
All right, we had another question come in off a phone call. Do you sell books by Charles Askins and Bill Jordan? Alan wanted to know.
I don't think we have any more copies of Bill Jordan's books, and I don't think we have any more of Askins. We have some in our archives, but I will check. We may have some, but my memory says no.
Well, you have a pretty good gift shop there, don't you?
Yes, we have. Our archive department is one of the best outside of the National Archives on Border Patrol history in the United States.
Also, your gift shop, you can sell all kinds of interesting things.
Yes, we have a gift shop.
They can call your gift shop right now.
Yes.
What's the phone number?
759-6060 and ask for the gift shop.
759-6060. Also, the address of the museum.
Yes, I made a mistake, and I was quickly corrected by the staff. It's 4315 Trans Mountain.
4315. And you say right now Trans Mountain Road being screwed up like it is, you can't go east from your Border Patrol location until you go all the way across the mountain, make a U-turn, and come back.
Well, you have to go 4 miles up the mountain, going west to the picnic tables.
And turn around.
And turn around to go back east.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Real quick, I don't think we'll have time, but Jesus Chuy Martinez says, hopefully there's enough time to talk about Jay Milton, U.S. Border Patrol lookout towers along Paisano and the border, and the shootouts between the Border Patrol agents and liquor smugglers around La Isla and San Eli and Chamizal.
Yes, that's on the agenda.
Well, go ahead. Now's the time. This is our last segment.
Okay. One of the biggest shootouts was down in near San Elisario in the Los Pompas area, and a local El Paso resident was a young Border Patrol agent, Ivan Scouten, and he and three other patrol inspectors were patrolling down there when they were ambushed by about from 10 to 15 smugglers. There was a vicious shootout. Scouten was wounded. They stopped their vehicle and bailed out. He bailed out on the south side and was shot. In his leg, he crawled under the vehicle. The two guys that were with him fled and started returning fire, but they were soon outnumbered and continued to retreat. The smugglers then came and drug Scouten out from under the vehicle, gave him a tira de gracia, which is a headshot, stole his watch, his ring, his ID and his weapon, and fled back into Mexico. And it was one of the most vicious gunfights we had at the time.
Made the headlines in the El Paso Herald Post.
Oh, it made the headlines in the Times, the Herald Post.
Oh.
Because he was a local kid. Apparently he was a real good athlete. The family was from here, a well-known family, and it was a big deal. They eventually caught several of the people involved in that shootout. But that was one of the most vicious ones. Also, there was one in Cordova Island, a fellow by the name of Benjamin Hill. We don't have his picture. But he had been in the patrol 2 weeks. Was down there on Cordova Island. They saw a guy come across, and they started chasing him. His partner slipped in a mud puddle and fell. The smuggler turned around and shot Hill right in the chest and killed him instantly. His partner fired at the guy several times, but he fled back into Mexico. His partner had to go to find a telephone to call to get help. The sad thing about it, he had predicted his own death. He had told his partner, you know, I think some Mexicans are going to shoot me in some dark alley one night. And it happened that evening.
Wow.
So it was pretty sad.
Oh, some people wanted to know what the hours are for the museum.
9 o'clock to 4:45, Tuesday through Saturday. We lock the gates at 4:45 because if we don't, we also clean the museum, but people come out there and hike in the trails around the archaeology museum, and we lock the gates, so we don't want to lock anybody in. That's why we close at 4:45.
Cool.
So they're open today?
We're open today, yes, ma'am.
Fair enough. All right. So what else should we know about the Border Patrol Museum? If somebody wants to make an excursion there, you have a gift shop, you have all these exhibits, and you have people who can explain things?
Yes. You can ask for a tour, but you should also, it's pretty easy to do a self-tour. You can also visit our archive area, but you have to have permission. We have a new archive area. We recently added 1,000 square feet of room to our museum. We also have a state-of-the-art flight simulator that was donated to us by a retired head of Border Patrol flight operations. So, yes, there's a lot to do there. There's vehicles that kids can get on and play on. We have a helicopter that we're going to open up soon where people can get in and
check it out.
Get that. But we've had it closed because of COVID. But I think we're going to start.
Now you're opening up. All right. David Hamm, thank you for being here. Border Patrol Museum in Northeast El Paso. Melissa, are you ready to come back in here maybe next week?
Yes, I am. And I want to tell people, you need to get out and see that museum. It's very impressive. It's a lot of fun. And take visitors there. It's a great, great museum.
All right,
and I will be there. I may be in the studio next Saturday if my knee cooperates.
We'll see what happens to your knee. Okay, fair enough. Everybody else here, we're going to see you next week. Again, thanks to Andrew J. Polk in the control room. Appreciate what you're doing there, getting the electrons out there and ringing the bell. And we should have better audio as soon as we can on that, right? Yes, we will. All right. David, thanks again. We'll see you in the museum in Northeast El Paso.
Thank you, Jackson.
Everybody else, see you next week right here on the El Paso History Radio Show. Melissa, take care.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.